105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Cambridge-born Douglas Adams was the creator of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. He was also a writer and script editor for Doctor Who. His contributions included Sharda, the uncompleted Tom Baker story set in Cambridge. A new biography of Adams written by Jem Roberts has just been published, and Jem's going to be appearing at Heffer's Bookshop tonight alongside my guest now, David Haddock. Good afternoon, David. Thanks for coming in.
No problem.
So how did your interest in Douglas Adams and his work begin?
Well, I read the books when I was about 11, 12, and loved them. Mm. I mean, that was back when he was still writing them, so in the early 80s. So read the first three, which were out just then. And
this is the days when The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy was still a trilogy, was it? Or
just about, yeah. Had to wait for the fourth one to come along, so I was eagerly awaiting that to be published.
Mm. I seem to remember sort of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy was not only my introduction to Douglas Adams, it was also my introduction to Radio 4 as well, and to the kind of comedy which I guess I still listen to today.
Yeah, me too. I was a little bit young to hear the first series in 1978, but I sort of got some tapes off some friends at school before the BBC finally released them in the late 80s. So, yeah, it took me into Radio 4 a little bit as well.
Yeah, and you're also an ex-president of, if I pronounce this right, is it a Z or a Z?
It's a Z.
A ZZ9 plural Z Alpha, which is the official Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy Appreciation Society.
Yes, ZZ9 for short.
Okay, that's probably just as well, really.
So, yeah, I was president a couple of years ago. It's been running since around 1980.
Right. Is it the television series as well, wasn't there, after the radio series?
Radio 78, and then there was another radio series. There was the novelisation in 79. The TV series was broadcast in 81. The other books were coming out in the early 80s as well. Mm. So lots of Hitchhikers going on back then, and it, enough to sustain a fan club running for 30 years in the old-fashioned way. We have a quarterly magazine, so but we hang about on places around the internet as well. But we physically meet up and wander around town, slouch about, and go and do something related to Douglas Adams or not.
And then there was Sharda, which was the Tom Baker Doctor Who story, which had a Cambridge setting, but was never, at least in its video form, was never completed.
They did the filming in, I think, October 78 in Cambridge. 3 or 4 days of on location filming. But the industrial action...
These are the days when there's always some sort of industrial dispute at the BBC.
Yeah, so late 78.
Yeah, everywhere, I guess, in the late 70s. Really.
And the I think it was the electricians, the lighting people, were on strike. Mm. So the filming in the studios was postponed. The BBC needed to rescue things like Morecambe and Wise. That was deemed more important than Doctor Who back then. So the Sharda story got cancelled effectively. The on-location filming was eventually released on video and recently on DVD with linking narration by Tom Baker, sort of talking you through what would have happened.
And Cambridge, if I remember, is pretty essential to the plot. You know, there was sort of like the TARDIS had landed in one of the colleges, for example.
There was another Time Lord in Professor Chronotis, who was a professor at Cambridge, and his TARDIS was his rooms in a fictional college, St. Sed's, which is based on St. John's,
right.
Actually where Douglas lived in his third year. There's a set of rooms called K6 in a second court in St. John's, and he based Professor Chronotis's rooms on the rooms he shared then.
How important was Cambridge to Douglas's writing, do you think? Did it flow through in other things other than that Doctor Who script?
He reused that Doctor Who work for one of his Dirk Gently novels. So
right.
A very similar plot. So, again, that's partly based in Cambridge. But his whole sort of life plan, there's a great quote which he said he wanted to be John Cleese and it took a while to realise the job was taken. So his whole life plan was go to Cambridge, be in footlights, become a writer-performer. It didn't quite turn out like that, but he came to Cambridge and he did a lot of his early writing for footlights. So there are things that he wrote for footlights that turn up later in Hitchhiker. So he liked to make the most of an idea.
Scribbling it away and maybe redeveloping it when the circumstances...
Things like the famous Space is Big. You might think it's a long way down the street to the chemist, but that's just peanuts to space. That was written for a footlight sketch and reworked for Hitchhikers.
Mm. Because you're here for two reasons, really. There's the biography. There's Evening at Heffer's, which you're launching alongside the author there.
Yeah, Jem Roberts has written a biography, and he's had access to the Adams Archive, which is at St. John's now. Douglas's daughter, Polly, donated it a year or so ago, I think. And he's the first biographer to get access to that. So he's got some unpublished
I guess something like Douglas Adams, that there have been, I believe, I've probably got one on my bookshelf at home, actually, there have been biographies a bit beforehand.
There are a couple, he died in 2001, there are a couple of biographies on the back of that in 2003, but Jem's the first one to get access to the Adams Archive, and as I said, he's got some unpublished material in some appendices that he's added in, and he'll probably be talking about that tonight.
And of course the other thing to mention is that you do the occasional Douglas Adams tour around Cambridge, and the next one of those is coming up on Saturday morning.
Saturday, 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock,
we'll
okay.
We start at the station because there'll be some people coming from London on the train. And there's a Douglas Adams story to tell at the station as well. And then we'll walk up to Mill Road, which is where Douglas was born, in the old maternity hospital, which is now Ditchburn Place. And then into town, various places that he lived, various places he performed, various pubs that he drank in, various other places with footlights connections and so on. So, yeah.
It feels whenever one thinks Douglas Adams, it always comes across as a life, not necessarily unfulfilled, but certainly cut short.
Yes, he was only 49 when he died. Mm. And he'd spent so long getting the film made that he hadn't really written any books for quite a while. But, I mean, there's...
And this was The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy film, is it, with Martin Freeman?
Mm-hmm. Mm. So he was living out in L.A. And he'd been over to L.A. before in the 80s to try and get the film made. Failed, come back, written the Dirk Gently's, done his environmental series, Last Chance to See, all those sorts of things, gone back to Hitchhiker and again tried to get the film made. So what there is of Douglas Adams is pretty good quality, but it would be lovely if there was more.
Yeah, I guess so too. Well, David, interesting to hear about Douglas. And what time do you start this evening at Heffer's and your conversation with Jem?
Half past six. Yep.
Okay, so plenty of time for people to get. Is it free to get in to have a listen? Or?
No.
Ah, there's a small fee.
I believe so, yes.
Okay. All right, well, if have a look at the Heffer's website, Heffer's Cambridge, and I'll give you the details of all of that. David, thank you very much for coming in and talking about Douglas this evening.
Thank you.
Cambridge 105, community radio in your city, and we're just a few weeks away from Oxjam Cambridge. It takes place on October the 18th. This year, Oxjam is working with Tom's. It's an organisation that works on the principle of one for one. You buy a pair of shoes, they donate another pair to someone in need. Izzy Maxwell-Watts is from Oxjam, and she is here now. Hello, Izzy.
Hi.
Thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks
now,
for
it's
having
a
me.
Few years that Oxjam has been running in Cambridge now. How many altogether?
That's right. Yeah, it's the fourth year. It's happened right now.
So. And Oxjam is nationwide, isn't it? It's across the UK.
It is. It's actually the UK's largest music festival. It's purely run by volunteers, and anybody in any city can get involved. I think we've got about 60 teams going this year, most of which the events are taking place on the 18th of October.
It is quite interesting. Gradually, we've seen more and more music festivals. You know, it used to kind of be Glastonbury, and that was it. And then they've sort of spread out into various other festivals around the UK. And now there's another wave which seems to be developing, which is little tiny, smaller, sort of city-centric festivals like Oxjam.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I'm wondering if that means that you sometimes have a little bit difficulty now waving the flag and promoting the event.
I think the time of year is great for us because it's just after the big festival season and everyone's back from holiday, feeling a little bit miserable that the autumn's here and we've got this great festival. And when most people think of festival, they think of a big field, but it's actually all indoor venues.
It's mostly in pubs and around Cambridge, isn't it, I think?
Yeah, yeah. It's all from between the train station and the bus station. I'll give you some of the names in a minute.
Yeah, do.
But, I think... I also think with the Oxfam name attached to it, and Oxjam's been going for a few years now, I think people are starting to remember the name, and there's a big launch happening in London.
And I'm guessing it's going to get publicity, isn't it? Both sides, really. It'll be people like you appearing on radio stations like this, but at the other end of it all, some of the events, like London, for example, is clearly going to get some national publicity, which have a halo effect on what's going on in the city here.
Absolutely, and all the teams work together as well to try and promote each other and, you know, keep getting the word across. So I think it's going to be a great turnout this year. I'm excited.
So how does it work then? If you want to go to one of the pubs, do you go to one of them? Do you go to all of them?
So it's done by wristbands. So you can buy a ticket on We Got Tickets, and you can buy a wristband for £10, which gives you access to all the venues over the course of the evening. Music starts from 5 and finishes at 3 a.m. So there's plenty of time to go from one to another. But you can also just come on the night and buy a ticket on the door. And it's just £3 per venue to enter. So
okay, and who's on the bill this year?
Sorry?
Who's on the bill? It's awfully old-fashioned word. Who's on the bill? Makes it sound like I'm sort of getting people to come into a circus or something. But you know what I mean. Who's appearing?
We've got some great names, actually. A lot of so it's all local acts. We're all supporting Cambridge acts, a lot of whom are doing really, really well. We've got Sunday Driver, who I think anyone that came last year saw them headline at the Emperor. We've got 28 Boulevard, who I think we're going to hear a track from in a little bit.
We are indeed.
And we've got some newer names as well. We've got a band called Moon Freak, who actually were the winners of a competition we ran at a teen jam event at the Junction a couple of weeks ago. The band are actually just made up of 15, 16-year-olds, and they
are incredibly
talented.
Oh, really? Where
are
they from? They're local to Cambridge?
They're all local Cambridge.
Oh, wow.
I promise you, when you get on stage, you just won't be able to believe their age. They're absolutely fantastic. There's more names. You can go onto our blog page, which is oxjam-cambridge.blogspot.com, which shows all the updates of what we've been up to, and it will have all the list of all the venues and who's playing at each venue.
That sounds pretty good. There's going to be some coverage of one of the venues, at least, on Cambridge 105 on the evening, I think.
Yeah, we're going to have you at the Emperor again. The other venues we've got, the Flying Pig. It's the first time they've been involved this year, so really excited to have them on board. They've got an acoustic bluesy feel. We've got the Great Northern, who have got a really fantastic acoustic set going on there. We've got Q Club, who start a little bit later, and that's all rock music. Mm-hmm. And then moving slightly further down, we've got the Alma, who are doing sort of an open mic session, very similar to the Songsmiths.
Which SEO does on a Wednesday night.
Exactly, yeah. On a Wednesday night. So a very similar vibe there. And then we've got the Emperor, which is sort of the main hub. So that's a lot of the indie, soft rock type sounds. And then finally, we've got the Fountain, who are doing their house music DJs.
Kind of sport for choice, really. It's a shame it's all on the same night.
Well, yeah, we've tried to sort of spread over as much time as possible,
yeah.
Just so people can catch what they want. So, and we'll be talking a lot about other acts, so if people want to catch specific acts, they can actually plan out their night to their schedule.
Okay, and you mentioned at the beginning you're working with Toms.
Yes.
This year. How's that coming together?
It's fantastic. It's really, really great to work with just a group of people that have really... I think the one-to-one scheme is amazing. You mentioned earlier about the shoes. They also do glasses.
That work? That's quite an interesting one.
It's actually incredible what they can do. You buy a pair of glasses and they're sunglasses, or and they're really great sort of on-trend fashion. And in return, they'll either provide someone with prescriptive glasses or they'll actually do operations if need be as well to anybody in need around the world. So,
Sometimes, particularly in, parts of Africa, but there's plenty of other countries this might apply to as well. You know, just simple, tiny, small operations which cost, frankly, nothing. And
sure.
They can really help an eyesight.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, if I didn't have glasses, I'd be absolutely useless. So I definitely appreciate that. And they've got a real global impact, as have we, and the Oxjam slogan is, you know, local music, global impact. So it's been really fantastic to work with them. And they'll be there on the night. They're going to be doing lots of exciting...
They're doing a coffee thing, I noticed, as
yeah.
Well. That sounds pretty good. We have a coffee morning here tomorrow.
So
we should have got them to supply us.
Yeah, it's been launched in America. Hopefully it should be over here soon as well. And I love this one. It's, you buy a coffee on the morning and you run into work and they provide somebody with water for an entire day.
Oh, that's very good.
So if you
good.
Think about yes. 5 days a week, you buy a coffee every morning, you're actually providing someone with water almost for life, which I just think is incredible.
And how do you know how it works in the States? Is it like particular retailers and coffee
houses?
Yeah,
I think
houses?
That's exactly it. They don't have their own shop. They just contact other names that are providing, and then I don't actually know any of the names. But
okay. I saw a new coffee place. I was wandering through Burley Street earlier, and there's yet another coffee shop is going to open. It's I'm surprised, actually, is that there's any... Well, you know, it's like cycle shops, really, I suppose, as well, for that matter. Just when you think you've got enough of them, another one pops up.
We should do Oxjam in coffee shops next year. We'll be sport for choice for venues, wouldn't we?
Oh dear, you'd probably we'd probably be on a stage put one band in each of the coffee shops, I would have thought, with all of that. So quickly remind me of the details again. It's October the 18th is when
Saturday,
it all takes place.
October the 18th, if you're out in town on that day, we've got the fantastic samba band Arco Iris, who are going to be getting everyone pumped up for the night around town.
I keep meeting people who are in Arco Iris.
They're
it's like the whole city's join. That's the half of the city which is not going to the coffee shops.
It's fantastic. And then we kick off from just about 5 o'clock in the evening at the six venues that I just mentioned. And there'll be a raffle on the night. There'll be lots of fundraising opportunities. We've got a tweet wall up in the Empress, so people can see their own live tweets heading up behind the bands throughout the night. And we'll be running some competitions to win their very own Tom's shoes as well.
That's great. And if people want to buy tickets, how do they do that?
They can buy tickets on We Got Tickets. If you just search Oxjam Cambridge Takeover, the tickets will be available there.
That's great. Well, Izzy, thank you very much for coming in
for
telling us all about Oxjam Cambridge. That's Izzy Maxwell-Watts, and we promised you a track from 28 Boulevard, so here's Come Over.